This is Mythical.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Close your eyes and imagine this. You got bread, tomatoes, thinly sliced meats, and cheese. Now open your eyes. Was it a sandwich or a pizza? Trick question. The doctor was the boy's mother. This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Do you guys get it?
Are you proud of yourself?
Do you guys get it? Yeah. The doctor is the boy's mother?
Yeah, I got it.
No one's going to get it. Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And today we are very happy to be joined by Dennis Lee. Dennis is the world's best food writer and former pizza maker based in Chicago. He's a staff writer at The Takeout and has written for the AV Club, Serious Eats, and Thrillist. He's a former pizzaiolo, I already said that, and writes the hilarious Substack, Food is Stupid. Dennis, welcome.
Hi, how's it going?
So you agree. I agree you're the world's best food writer.
Yeah, I agree, but that's only because I'm the one who made that up. Sort of like Michael Jackson and the King of Pop, you know. I was just like...
Did he make that up?
Making your own
no,
stuff?
No, that was from the British royal family. He got literally knighted as the King of Pop, and they put a little crown on him.
Wow.
So did I just make that up? I just made this fact up. So, well, I am the greatest food writer in all of history. That's all. That's how we'll put it. I may or may not have stated that myself, and I don't think anybody else in the world has ever said that, but I can keep saying it.
I'll say that right now because...
Me too. You're the best food writer ever.
And goat. Honestly, we're like kindred spirits because I was reading your stuff back when you wrote a blog called The Pizzle.
Yeah.
Which for anybody who doesn't know, that is the edible term for an animal, phallus.
Mm-hmm.
Phallus, we can say. It's a family show, kids. But no, you did a bunch of really interesting stuff with food. And I mean this very genuinely. Like, I remember you made frozen yogurt out of Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, that was
Then you topped it with the fiber crumble and a kaopectate whipped cream.
Yeah.
Wow.
You did a charcuterie board out of dog food that you called a bark charcuterie board.
Wow.
I can't tell if you're genuinely saying
astounding.
Wow or if you're like, ugh.
No, I'm so impressed.
Dennis, have you seen what we do for our jobs?
Oh, yeah. We watch like every day.
It's like the same thing. But you also have a deep expertise in pizza. Can you tell me how you ended up on your pizza making journey?
So I got fired from a really good job. I think they had just hired a lot of extra people. That's what I like to think.
Mm-hmm.
Was I got fired and I needed to find something to do. And I had been living off unemployment for way too long. And so my friend Derek, who is the owner of Polly G's in Logan Square here in Chicago, he was just like, I'm opening this restaurant. Do you want to come make pizza? And around then I was in my mid-30s. And I was just like, all right, me starting a line cook job now, this is ridiculous. This is not a good way for me to live. But then I finally decided, okay, I'll cook for a little bit. You know, I tied myself over for a while. And then I ended up staying for 5 years. So that was just, I learned how to make pizza the hard way. Not like from a young dude who just like, you know, gets put in the kitchen. I just like, was just like, oh, I need something to do. All right, I'll make pizza. And then I stuck around for like way longer than I thought I was gonna, but
it was your second act. It was your How Stella Got Her Groove Back.
But that's amazing, though. I think that's awesome.
I think it's cool. I mean, when you say it's my second act, does that mean I'm gonna die tomorrow?
I mean,
how many acts
are you gonna die? If so, this podcast is gonna get way more numbers.
Yeah,
we'll do like an in memoriam.
Yeah,
you know, we'll dedicate.
We'll do a slideshow.
Let's do it now.
We'll donate it to a charity that we said you loved, even though we didn't know if you did.
I don't know anything about the charity.
We're like, Dennis loved PETA. Here's $400 to PETA.
Yeah, PETA, because that sounds like pizza.
Anyway, speaking of pizza, let's get down to brass tacks. This is what we are here to discuss today. Dennis, you are a smart philosophical man. Me and Nicole are obviously smart philosophical men. And the reason... What? I used it like non-gendered. Anyways, we're here to discuss... This is a question that we have gotten a lot. People tweeted us. People send it to our Instagram DMs. They'll comment on my wiki feed. They say, is pizza an open-faced sandwich? What say you?
I'm going to say no, because I had thought about this. See, guys, the way podcasts work is you get asked this question before you go on the podcast.
Yes.
But
we should,
we should surprise them
with another question.
Yeah, just make something up.
Is rice pudding risotto?
Oh, that's a really good question. Yeah. I think that is a risotto.
Hell yeah.
Right, technically.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, good news. We solved that one.
Oh.
All right, back to pizza.
Well, then I'll do that one too, because you already asked me. But so I think with pizza being a sandwich, I don't think it's a sandwich, because when you do an open-face sandwich, you've got a piece of bread and then your filling, and that's what you have in it. If you have more filling and more bread on top, then it's a complete sandwich and not an open-face sandwich. But
a calzone is a sandwich then?
No, calzone's a dumpling.
Ah, okay. Sorry, back to pizza.
So
gotcha journalism him.
If you put two pizzas on top of each other, you don't call them a sandwich. I mean, maybe it's like an open-faced quesadilla, right?
Two pizzas on top of each other. Well, hold on. I mean, would that not be a sandwich? What would you classify two pizzas on top of each other? I know Nicole's going to say mulita.
No, I wasn't.
Because that's true.
I was going to say sandwich.
But do you think it is a sandwich, two pizzas on top of each other?
Two pizzas on top of each other is a sandwich. One slice of pizza is not an open-faced sandwich.
Why come?
I don't know. Okay, so like, let's just say you're at a, so you are at a Jewish deli, okay? And have, you know how they bring out like the lox on two bagels?
Yeah.
And then you close it?
I don't close it. You close it.
I close it. I close
it.
Yes.
Dennis, do you sandwich your bagels? Say you get bagels and lox with a little bit of schmear on it. Do you close it or do you eat it open-faced?
You know what? So if I'm sitting down to eat it at a restaurant, I'll eat it open-faced because that's how it comes to you, right? But if I get it to go, they always put it in a sandwich, don't they?
Yeah, but then I re-split it.
You re-split it?
Yeah, I re-split it.
No,
if they serve it
wild.
To me in a sandwich, I re-split it, and then I kind of finger the ingredients to where I want them to go. Because the onions and the tomatoes will be... Maggie, do you do the same?
You guys, what is wrong with you?
I re-split it. I refuse to eat it closed. It should not have that amount of bread chew on both sides. Bagels are an open-faced sandwich.
No, but I
realize we're recording this on a podcast, but I want everybody to know I'm about to walk out like...
Do it. You won't.
I'll just leave.
Keep the camera rolling so we know that you're spiting us.
I'm sorry. No. Two pizzas on top of each other, that's a sandwich. But that's like saying if I remove the top layer of a bread of like a turkey sandwich, it's an open-faced sandwich. It's not. It's an incomplete sandwich.
Here's the thing. We're talking about, I might agree with you.
Okay.
I think it might depend. If it's just a cheese pizza that has been flipped on top of itself, then do you have a cheese sandwich? Is it a grilled cheese? I don't know. But back to the original question of just a plain pizza, is that an open-faced sandwich?
Mm-mm.
This one is tough because one, when talking about whether things are or aren't sandwiches, that is a whole different category than an open-faced sandwich, because an open-faced sandwich by definition is not a sandwich. It is not a sandwich.
What is it, toast?
It's an open-faced sandwich. It is its own species. We use the phrase open-faced as like an intentional negator of sandwichhood, right? So it's like if you say that's a forged check, is it still a check? I mean, it still, you know, looks like a check, but it has the opposite utility. An open-faced sandwich almost has the opposite utility of a sandwich, because the point of a sandwich, right, going back to the mythos of it, is the, you know, the a-hole who's trying to play cards and didn't want to get his hands dirty, so he had his manservant put meat between bread.
Earl of Sandwich.
The Earl of Sandwich, that piece of crap. I would have stolen that guy's money if I was his manservant.
You ever been to the Planet Hollywood? They have the best Earl of Sandwich I've ever been to.
I'll say, I had some good meals at Planet Hollywood.
They got
this like Creole fried shrimp with a little mustard sauce. Have you had that?
I love Planet Hollywood.
It's so
for
good.
Food.
Say Creole fried shrimp again, because I feel like you made an accent. I heard like a shrimp.
A little bit of Creole fresh shrimp. That's how you gotta say it.
Shrimp.
When I go to the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, I just go, y'all got shrimp potatoes, shrimp salad, shrimp stew. And they're like, sir, you're eating at a Bubba Gump alone? I'm like,
and you're the fifth person to do this to us today.
Anyway, so the point is, I'm not arguing pizza is any sort of sandwich. I'm arguing it's an open-faced sandwich, which intentionally means that it is not a sandwich.
It's toast.
And I'll say, sure, pizza's an open-faced sandwich. Why not? You got bread on the bottom, right? It's a yeasted dough, just like bread, that has some amount of toppings on it, or a smørrebrød. If we want to use the Nordic term, let's not say open-faced sandwich. Let's say smørrebrød. Now you won't confuse it with a sandwich because it is not. Pizza is smørrebrød. Any questions? I feel like I knocked that one out of the park, just want to say.
Do you eat an open-faced sandwich by holding it with your hands, or do you do it with a knife and fork?
So I refuse to eat open-faced sandwiches as they are intended, and I fold them into a taco.
Ugh.
Not a taco, but you know what I mean. I fold them in on themselves, like a collapsing star. Yes.
You don't, like, hold it and just go, how?
No. How do you eat open-faced sandwiches?
It depends. So if I can actually hold it, then I probably will. But a lot of open-faced sandwiches have a bunch of stuff just piled on top. So I don't think they're really made for you to pick up and eat. You know, what I'll end up doing is probably I'll use a fork and knife and probably do it that way. Especially if it's got like cheese and all sorts of stuff on top, like that's just going to come off or like get stuck in my face. Or my terrible mustache, small mustache.
No, Dennis, your mustache is beautiful.
Your mustache is adequate.
Yeah, I mean, you guys
can
probably
be small but beautiful.
Oh man, it's special.
Yeah, it looks like you just got some dirt on your upper lip from this angle.
You're so mean, but you're such a bully. You have a nice mustache. Don't listen to him. You have a nice mustache.
You're a beautiful man.
Good mustache.
You're a handsome young man, Dennis.
I'm older than you too.
Pizza is eaten with a knife and fork in the correct context. Neapolitan pizza. Neapolitan pizza, you're supposed to dig out the wet center with a knife and fork. They say that at 800 degrees, Neapolitan pizzeria, people say we make too many specific LA references. No, because they franchised to Miami, and I think Dwayne Wade owns one of them.
Uh-huh.
But then they like pivoted to a rotisserie. Point is, you're supposed to eat, like Neapolitan pizza is too wet in the center to really pick up and eat. And so some people, they dig in with a knife and fork. It's like a traditional Italian thing. So I'm saying the method in which you eat an open-faced sandwich, which is to say by choice, is the method in which you eat certain pizzas. So they share a similar utility as well as a similar architecture.
I mean, I guess, kind of.
Do you remember the last open-faced sandwich I watched you eat?
No.
I was going to say
you
the last one you
ate.
You
watched me eat a sandwich? Which one was it?
It was the...
You watched me eat?
Yeah, all
that's
the time.
That's nice.
It was at Lancer's Deli, which is in Burbank. Lancer's Deli in Burbank, California. The average age of the diner there is about, let's say, 97 to 104 years old. and they also have a fantastic cocktail bar where you can order expired Miller Lights for $3. But we went there for lunch one day, and you got the open-faced roast beef sandwich.
Oh my God, what a monstrosity.
It was a single slice of white bread doused in like a packet of brown gravy and then just wet lunch meat on
top.
That
was the worst thing I've eaten in a long time.
You
that
loved
sounds
it at the
good.
Time. I did not love it at the
it
time.
It was good. The bread just sopped it up.
It was
up.
Not good.
But do you remember you didn't eat it because you couldn't figure out how to eat it? Do you remember how I ate the rest of your sandwich?
Tell me.
I took the bread like a claw, like you do with Thai sticky rice or like a roti, you know, with sabji. And then I scooped up the gravy with the bread and shoved it in my gullet.
So what does that make that sandwich then?
Pizza.
Is it a pizza now? You're a monster. You're a monster.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Okay, but like what really differentiates a pizza from an open-faced sandwich? What are the key differences, key similarities here?
I didn't think this far ahead.
Neither.
But I mean, you make dough specifically for a pizza. It's just for the pizza. Like you
but
cook,
there's multiple oh, kinds of pizza. Yeah, though,
here's
right?
the thing: you also cook it all together. You cook the
yeah,
the dough
that's
from
the main
raw.
Difference. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you cook mm-hmm. the dough raw, and then you have the ingredients on top also raw, more for the function of the pizza, and then you cook the whole thing and eat it that way. So you don't do that with a sandwich, like a raw sandwich.
You don't
raw.
Do that with a sandwich.
We've reached the impasse. This is the impasse. This is the crucial point, right? So we've established, I agree with you on that. So you established that pizzas are dough cooked from raw with the ingredients on top. Sandwich is a cooked dough product, which we can call bread mm-hmm. with stuff on top it. Stuff on
yes,
top
stuff
it.
On yes, top yes, it. Yes,
so you're arguing that any pizza that's thrown in the oven with the dough already cooked before toppings are applied is no longer a pizza, but rather an open-faced sandwich. If that is the one difference you agree on, then you must agree that any, so say there's a spot that does Detroit-style pie in Los Angeles that cooks their dough and then adds toppings and then finishes it in the oven. You're saying that they are not making a pizza, but rather an open-faced sandwich. Or Boboli pizza crust.
I was going to say Boboli!
Any home cook out there who is using Boboli pre-made crust, Dennis, they're a single mom. They don't got the time, you know, but they want to make the kids something nice and fresh. And so they buy the Boboli pizza crust. And go, I'm going to make a pizza for my child, my beautiful screaming child, Guinevere is their name for the sake of the story. Guinevere is screaming. She wants pizza. You want to make something from scratch. You put it on a Boboli pre-cooked crust, throw it in the oven. You're saying that single mom didn't make screaming Guinevere a pizza, but rather an open-faced sandwich, you monster.
I didn't say that. Now I'm like, you got me twisted around my own brain. Because...
You didn't have to.
Okay.
Welcome to the podcast.
So we're going to the original food. So this is just a variation on pizza then. You know, and the pre-made crust. So it's still pizza. Like...
But then how do you differentiate that from an open-faced sandwich if you said – also, I got to call out the comment that said that I like – it was a 4-star review on Apple Podcasts, which is fine. We'll take 4 stars. That said, I like the podcast, but it feels like Josh is just gaslighting Nicole.
He does that all the time, aside from the podcast.
No, I don't. Come on.
We'll
not,
talk about it
not,
later.
You're not crazy. You just
we'll,
don't think.
We'll talk about
okay,
it later.
I shouldn't joke. It was where you have agency and can, you know. Anyways, so then if we say that a pizza can start with a pre-cooked crust, mm-hmm. then what separates it from an open-faced sandwich, mm-hmm. right? That's where I get hung up on. That's where I get hung up on this debate. Because I would be fine eating my words, and I've had to before on the podcast. And if I say that pizza is uncooked dough in the oven with the toppings, that's fine. Then I have to say that poor single mother making a Boboli pizza, she's making s'more bread.
What's her
she's
name?
She's making an open-faced sandwich.
What's her name? What? I feel like we should...
Kelly Clarkson. Janice Jackson. People confuse her for Janet Jackson all the time. And she goes, no, Janice with an S. It's also spelled with an S. J-A-N-U-S. Jackson.
Janice?
No, it's pronounced Janice. She gets this all the time, Nicole. It's Janice Jackson, not Janice. God, have some respect. She's a single mother.
She gets this all the time. I don't understand. We have to respect her. Like C.C. Peniston. You know, the
C.C.
Peniston, you know, it's Peniston.
I know who C.C. Peniston is.
Who's C.C. Peniston?
I believe she sang Finally.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Also, when you say Peniston, is it spelled like...
Yeah. It's spelled the way
that's
you
the joke.
So
I didn't get the joke. I thought you were just admiring her work.
Okay, guys, let's stop getting on. These tangents are getting out of
whack. We gotta stop disrespecting single moms out here. We at a hot dog and sandwich.
Out of whack today.
Respect single mothers.
Reel it in, boys.
You're the real superheroes.
Reel it in.
Not Marvel. I don't care how many movies. I think if all Marvel movies were made about single mothers, Nicole, imagine what society could be like.
I've never seen a Marvel film.
What?
Really? Like, not one?
Why would I watch Marvel?
Actually, you know what? Honestly, you're not missing anything.
Thank you. That's what I thought.
Yeah, I thought you, like, now, in retrospect, all you're missing is people talking about Marvel movies. And those conversations are actually not really that. They're not that good.
Yeah, I don't care for that kind of social, like, currency, honestly. It doesn't add anything to my life to talk about, like, superheroes. I'm so sorry.
I think the men have pretty bodies. They all have very handsome bodies in it. Chris Evans, such a handsome body in Captain America. Hemsworth, handsome body in Thor. Anthony Mackie, his body's pretty nice.
Is you know, he a pizza?
A lot of handsome bodies.
Is he an open-faced pizza? Wait, is that...
Back to the topic at hand. All right. So is there a world in which there is a pizza that is made with pre-cooked crust? We've agreed that there is.
Sure, yes.
Okay. Then why would that not be considered an open-faced sandwich? Is it because you're putting it in the oven to melt everything together? Because then that's an open-faced melt, right? That's like a Kentucky hot brown.
I hate saying this.
Also, there's a sandwich called a Kentucky hot brown?
Yeah, I think that's the worst name for a sandwich ever. Like hot brown?
That's a hot name. Sexy
hot
name.
Hot brown. Just
if I walked in the office and said I just made a hot brown, what would you think I made? A sandwich or a dookie?
Brownies.
Brownies? What kind of brownies? Pants brownies?
Freshly molt. I don't like pants brownies. I don't like pants brownies.
That means trouble.
Honestly, guys, I'm just going to tell you. It has to do with the intent. It's the intent of the person cooking at the end of the day. I always say that because it's true. It's the intention of the person and what they're making. If they're taking two boboli crusts and they're filling it with sopressata and, like, you know, lettuce, tomato,
you think
whatever.
Janice has a budget for sopressata?
Janice?
She's trying her best. She's using Hormel pepperoni.
Okay,
she's
Hormel pepperoni. I'm sorry. I was thinking maybe she, you know, she wanted the best for her kids.
Fair.
But if she uses that and then she cuts that into a slice and she feeds it to her kids, that's a sandwich.
Okay.
But if she takes the boboli crust, puts cheese on it, puts marinara in it, puts it in the toaster oven, cooks it, that's a pizza. It's not an open-faced sandwich. But if she takes the crust, the boboli crust, she melts the cheese on it, she takes that out of the oven, she puts the meat, the lettuce, and the tomato on it, and then she feeds it to her kid, then it's an open-faced sandwich because of the intent. You ever had a pizza salad before?
I was just, no, hold on. No, you're talking about salad pizza, salad, not pizza salad.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis, you ever made salad pizza?
We had pizzas at the restaurant that had a lot of arugula and, you know, post oven toppings, like cold ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I would call them a salad pizza, but some people would say that those were salad pizzas. And
that's a salad pizza if I ever seen a salad pizza.
Internally, that made me hurt because I was like, I was just like, this is a pizza. This is not a salad pizza. I didn't put a Caesar salad on top of your pizza that I slaved away to make in front of you.
At Abbott's in Los Angeles, they put a Caesar salad on top of your pizza, and it's a delight.
It's not a Caesar salad. It's like an avocado tomato salad.
Is it kale, too?
It's amazing. Every day after a Santa Monica College, Go Community College, I would have a slice of this for a job well done. And I don't know, is this a pizza still?
That's a good question.
Or is this an open-faced sandwich?
That is a tartine. So, Dennis, can you see Exhibit A, the photo of the salad pizza?
Sort of.
I can describe it. It's a mound of salad on a pizza. I mean, truly, is that a pizza or an open-faced sandwich?
That's just two meals stacked on
Hurry.
Yes.
I got... this is one of those foods that has the dumbest origin story. Like, every origin story out there is
so
like the French dip, like a police officer named Officer French walked in and said, I got a criminal on the run. Just drop my sandwich in the juice and let me go. And you're like, that makes no sense. Why'd that happen? That's the same with the salad pizza. Someone came in, they're like, I don't got time to eat the salad. Throw it on the pizza, Fat Joe. The rapper Fat Joe is in there.
Does he work at the sandwich
shop? Yeah. Fat Joe founded Abbott's in Santa Monica. The point is, it is an honest to God just baked pizza, raw dough, and then you top it with a cold salad. To me, it ceases to be pizza once you do that because you have now topped it with so many things that becomes equally representative of the whole as the pizza base did. Now you're eating a smorgasbord or an open-faced sandwich. So whereas once it was a pizza with one fell swoop of the hand, Nicole, one flick of the wrist, Dennis, it has become an open-faced sandwich. Thus we see how fickle the nature is.
Was that supposed to be your finishing stroke?
Honestly,
that was supposed to be some kind of master stroke, and then Nicole and I are just sitting here going, like, what is he saying?
Are you not amazed?
Your soliloquy did not hit.
No, you know what? I was trying to go Morpheus, and then I was like, is it see how deep the rabbit hole goes or something? Follows the white rabbit, and then Rob Zombie's playing at the club. And then you ask your dad for a Rob Zombie album, and he's like, he worships the devil.
His last name is Zombie.
His name is Zombie. No, you're not. You're a child. You're impressionable. He seems to worship the devil. No, you're not going to have this. Anyways, open-faced sandwich.
Are you asking me? You're asking me what I think?
Yeah. Were any of my arguments convincing that a pizza is indeed an open-faced sandwich? I'll talk about the idea of intent.
Okay, go for it.
I never responded to the idea of intent. Mm-hmm. How many restaurants have you been where they have a flatbread on the menu? And then you order that, and it's a bad pizza.
Countless times.
But there's
that's
still pizza. We still call those pizza.
Oh, but they didn't call them pizza.
What
so
did they
their
call
intent.
It?
Yeah, well, that's their fault.
Their intent. Hold on. Hold on. Nicole said intent matters. And so if they're calling it a flatbread, their intent is to make it not a pizza for a specific reason, because they're trying to charge $18 because they put some like roasted summer squash on top of there. So they didn't want that to be pizza, but we all agree that's a freaking pizza, right? If it eats like a pizza, barks like a pizza, that's a pizza. Their intent was to call it a flatbread.
Is a pizza
And you're negating their intent.
Is a pizza an open-faced quesadilla?
No,
see, I think that's more likely. I think that's more likely.
See, Dennis, me and you are on the same page, this guy.
What do you mean open face? What's an open face quesadilla? That's a tlayuda.
No, it's not tlayuda. No, it's not. Is some cheese melted on a tlayuda?
No. Well, queso Oaxaca didn't, like, well, it kind of melts.
It's kind of melty. I guess.
They might melt it. No, it's not melted.
I think what I've learned today is that a pizza is an open face quesadilla. That's what I learned.
Quesadilla, man, once we start getting outside the English language, things get real tricky for us.
Claro que sí.
Because, claro que sí.
Claro que sí.
Verdad. Because I learned recently via food writer Bill Esparza that not all quesadillas have cheese.
I think I read that article as well.
But
I didn't.
We're on the same Twitter feed. And so for me, if a quesadilla doesn't necessarily need to have cheese, and again, there is a whole Mexican etymology and cultural gap that I am not familiar with to understand that very intimately at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know about getting intimate with quesadillas.
I love quesadillas.
And so I'm not willing to say that it's an open-faced quesadilla, where I know every single thing about smorabrod, as I have been confidently talking about, and I couldn't even tell you what that means. I went to that one weird Danish town in California and ate
Solvang.
One.
That
Solvang.
One weird yeah. Danish town?
Dennis, yeah. Are you familiar with Solvang, California?
I am not. I've been to California a few times, but I'm not familiar with Solvang. Solvang.
You should come out and hang. There's like half a windmill and then like a couple pancake houses and like 1,000 Danish people. And it's a really lovely time.
Yeah. So
you go on a bike ride?
You're saying this is heaven.
It is heaven.
Pretty
it is
much.
Literally heaven on earth.
Very idyllic.
If there are so many subtly spiced sausages there,
ooh,
you would love it.
Ooh.
All right. So if we're breaking down the argument into where we've landed here,
mm-hmm.
Pizza, it seems to be important that the dough is cooked beforehand, but not necessarily the end all be all.
Yes.
So you could feasibly have a baboli, cooked crust. Janice, the single mom, trying her best. She still made a pizza, even though it's pre-cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the intent argument. The fact that if you put, say, sauce, cheese, maybe a topping or two or a couple, and baked that, and you want it to eat like a pizza, you want to send the message to somebody that this is a pizza, then that intent is what creates the pizza hood and takes it away from being an open-faced sandwich.
Absolutely.
But then the salad pizza, do you agree that taking a mound of salad and put that on top of a pizza, say that pizza's made with pre-cooked dough, do you think there's a level of toppings? Because that doesn't really eat like a pizza,
I'm eating
right?
the salad pizza with a fork and a knife, though.
So, and do you think that makes it more of a pizza or more of an open face?
I don't know!
I still think that's just salad on a pizza. I don't think that it's like one new thing. Those are
pizza's
just two
the
separate
crouton?
Things. It's like if I...
It's just a salad.
If I dump a lasagna on top of a pizza, it's still lasagna on a pizza.
Oh my God.
No, Dennis, you don't understand. It's not a pizza at all. It's just a salad. The pizza is the crouton. Dennis, the pizza is the crouton.
God.
It's just a salad. Oh, my God. We've cracked the code. We can finally exit the stupid simulation and finally just evaporate into the ether. The pizza is the crouton, Nicole. Has anybody learned anything?
I have more questions, I think, than...
What are your questions? Let me, Dennis. What are your questions?
What have we learned? I don't really know. And I made pizza for a long time, so it's making me think. Though Nicole said intent is important, but if I made a pizza and intended it to be a sandwich in my mind, and then threw it in the wood fired oven, telling it was a sandwich the whole time.
Whispering in its ear.
And I brought it out. I'm not sure I think it would still think it was a pizza when I brought it out.
Does it have its own consciousness?
I hope not, because I just put it in a 1,000-degree oven.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, Jesus, you're a mass murderer.
I mean, there's certain archetypes with which we build things on.
Yeah.
Can we all agree on that?
You have like a, what do you call them, like a schema in your mind.
A schema, yeah.
Pizza equals flat, likely round, but not always.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, that's why in Italy, right, for Neapolitan pizza, they have like exact measurements that something needs to satisfy to be able to call itself pizza. That's like a little thing. If your crust is an eighth of a whatever Italian for inch is, centimeter. Mm-hmm. if it's like an eighth of a centimeter too thick or too thin, uh-huh. then you're not legally allowed to call it pizza, right? They have the DOP protection on it. And so that's the thing. And I kind of love that because now you don't get these hucksters out there selling you $18 flatbreads trying to call it pizza when I think that's just a damn open-faced sandwich.
Oh, I know what we just determined. We determined a racket. So what we can do is we can sell certifications on our own identification of pizza and just tell everybody their pizza isn't pizza until they pay us to tell them it's pizza.
Oh, that's smart.
Wow.
It's like Dennis. Crime but organized.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's never been thought of before.
Now we've
invented it.
We'll call ourselves the Mafia. I think that's a good name.
That's good. It's an acronym.
Yeah.
It's an acronym.
For what?
American Pizza Association of America. Mafia. I don't know how acronyms work. I can't read.
We're close. We're on.
We're getting
something.
There. We're getting somewhere. All right, Nicole and Dennis, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for the segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
All right, Dennis, first up, you mentioned before the podcast started rolling that you wanted to talk about b-holes. Can you elaborate on your b-hole stance?
I am pro b-hole.
We are too.
Yeah, we all have b-holes. It's important to talk about them constantly.
I agree.
And that's something I talk about on Twitter a lot, which I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble for sometime. Mm-hmm. But and also on Instagram. So what I'll do is I will I'll take beautiful pictures of food, all the nice things I've eaten, and then caption it with, "And then I shoved it up my b-hole." So I'll have these like beautiful pictures of like pizza or burgers or whatever, and then talk about how I'm just going to shove these things up my butt.
Yeah, and I think what you're really hitting on there is this sort of philosophical notion of like circulationism, where the idea hold on, here's the thing: everything you eat, you're going to poop out, and that's hilarious, and that's why I love Dennis's Substack. Food is stupid because food is truly stupid.
Of course, it's
wild
stupid.
That we put so much emphasis. All of our whole lives have been like devoted to the things we put in our mouth, and anything we've put in our mouth has come out of our butt. And that's hilarious.
Hopefully.
That is, if you don't think that's funny, it's like parents growing up were like, farts aren't funny, depending on the parent you had.
They're
like,
so funny.
It's like your b-hole makes a little trumpet sound. That's
farts
the
are
funniest
so
thing
funny.
In the world.
You know what's awesome about that is you can talk and make a trumpet sound at the same time. It's cool that you can do that. That's the only thing you can. Those are the only sounds you can simultaneously do. You can have a conversation and then trumpet, and then just like play
it's like
music.
Like a really skilled
your butt.
Beatboxer.
Yeah,
you know, you can layer sounds on top of
yeah, butt boxer.
This is the best conversation
there is a professional
ever.
Farter. There's a professional farter, right?
Back in the day,
He entertained the French aristocracy by farting out tunes.
Yeah, he could fart songs.
He could fart songs.
The pedomane.
Anyways, we should get to the segment. First up, we got @Nima_Har. Tuna salad is a sauce. Dennis, what say you?
No, there's solid stuff in it. If it was a sauce, it would be that's like one chewy sauce. That's like just a sauce.
I like a good chew to my sauce.
Yeah, that tuna salad is not a sauce. I can't even deal with that.
Nicole knows exactly where I'm going to go with this because I bring it up a lot. I'm going to go up to the northern region of Italy, you know, just west of Slovenia, you know, even go down a little bit to like, you know, Bologna. And you see the dish vitello tonnato.
Mm.
Vitello tonnato is sliced veal tongue or veal breast served with a tonnato sauce, a tuna sauce. And it is like one step from tuna salad. The first time I had it, it's literally just tuna solids blended into a sauce. So it's got a good chew to it, but it's still runny. So I think like you take tuna salad as it is. You take the wettest tuna salad you've ever seen, which is probably coming from Subway.
Because
it doesn't get touched. When you don't touch tuna salad, the water pools at the edges.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Tuna said tuna salad at Subway ain't getting touched, especially after the weird controversy about whether or not it's tuna.
I love it.
Which it's definitely tuna.
It's tuna.
It.
It's tuna it's for tuna. Sure.
It's they don't. There's no cheaper fish. They don't benefit from adding anything but tuna to it.
Yeah, I don't know what else, what other fish they would use.
Like one, like something that hasn't been identified yet. Like we just found this
chum.
Like geothermal vent.
Chum.
Just chums. Chum. Just blended.
Chum. Yeah.
Just hot chum.
Chum. Chum salad.
Tuna salad sauce.
It's a condiment. Next.
Fair. It's a good dip. You put some Keebler club crackers in tuna salad.
I
that's a good
love
time.
Tuna salad.
It's good. I just feel guilty.
Sucks. Yeah, it's a lot of mayo to consume, but like whatever.
Because the dolphins?
That too. Mercury? Oh. Aren't you like not supposed to eat a lot of mercury?
Oh. Oh.
No. I was saying for the mayo intake.
Oh no, I'm cool.
We all have our reasons.
We all have our reasons.
Okay. Wally Boulard says Red Bull should be consumed by mixing it with OJ, mimosa style. What say you, Dennis?
That's actually probably pretty good. Have you guys ever had beer with OJ before? That's weirdly good.
Is it called a Radler?
That's like any juice with some beer, right? A little bit. Mm. But I think if you mix, is it a Boilermaker? I think there's an actual.
Oh, we called it Brass Monkey. That's what we called it.
What's the one with lemonade? Shandy.
That's a Shandy.
Lemonade.
I like Shandy.
Boilermaker is just a shot and a beer.
Oh, I like those.
I like those.
Those
too.
Are the best.
That's good. You go into a show and it's just like, give me a couple of Boilermakers. And hit it and quit it.
Then I know there's an orange juice and beer combination, and I tried it once, and I thought it was going to be really, really putrid. But it's actually really refreshing, and the thing is, it's because you can't taste the beer part. It's just like watery, bubbly orange juice.
It's called a beer mosa.
Oh no, I've made beer gria before. Beer gria is a recipe that I had in the cookbook, which is a delight.
But yeah, I think that would be a good mix. Orange juice and Red Bull, I would imagine. And there's that Mountain Dew product, the Kickstarter stuff, and it's mixed with juice. It's like energy drink with juice, I think, right? Or like at least
yeah, it is
Mountain Dew with juice, which is it sounds like a net sum of zero. But
well, they tried to sell that to kids as like, hey kids, here's a healthy energy drink for the morning. Here's a healthy way to consume your juice. They start putting trace amounts of OJ in it.
Trace amounts of OJ.
Like so, Taco Bell, they had a product called Mountain Dew AM that was just a dew for breakfast, and it was the same thing. And then Kickstart put the caffeine in it. I'll tell you what's better than that. And this is something I've done in desperate times, which is a little bit of iced coffee, which is to say old coffee from the pot that's just been sitting out all day. Mm-hmm. And you mix that with Red Bull, you put it on ice, and it'll make you grind your teeth.
Mm-mm.
How does that taste? That just sounds like it tastes like coffee.
You get the, you know, you have like acidic coffee and you're like, that's bad because it's acidic coffee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Imagine all the citric acid from a Red Bull and that guarana taste going into a coffee, and then a little bit of the fizz bubbles kind of get trapped in your nose hairs, and it just smells like you're trapped in an extreme sports Starbucks commercial.
Mm.
And you're just clutching your stomach. You're just like your stomach just has a hole in it.
But if you're trying to reach a deadline, that'll make you go because you're gonna have to go to the bathroom pretty soon.
It'll make you fight.
I don't consume energy drinks. I can't. I can't do that.
You don't do any energy drinks?
Mm-mm. Just coffee or tea.
I gotta start riding the lightning, Nicole.
Yeah, really.
All right, at Silas Eggleton. Cold shredded cheese and chunky salsa wrapped in a tortilla is a taste bud guilty pleasure.
I'm down with that. That sounds awesome. That sounds like
I'm so down.
Like now that I work from home as opposed to being in a restaurant, that sounds like lunch. That sounds like just something
that
I can just go
good.
To the other room for and grab real quick if I don't feel like making lunch. So
yeah, I got 4 minutes. Grab the tortilla. No time to microwave it.
I'm never even in a rush. That just sounds like something I would do when I don't feel like doing anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, me too.
Take my time on the folds.
Me
yeah,
too.
just in, I'll savor every bite of it. I'll just eat real slow. You know, I'll use my lunch break very well. I just won't use it to make the food. I'll just put cold cheese and cold salsa on a tortilla. I like this. Whoever this person is my best friend now.
Yeah,
I hope
hang
you're
out
listening.
Silas Eggleton.
Hi, Silas.
Silas, meet my friend Dennis. I had to learn to love cold shredded cheese.
I love cold shredded
cheese. I never loved it before, but now I've gotten the appreciation to which like a sauce gets trapped in between the shreds and it kind of like absorbs in that like a wood pulp.
It's good.
Caking.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
I like cold shredded cheese.
You're talking cold shredded cheese from the bag, like the package pre-shredded stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that... You got to get used to that like chalky flavor on the outside. If you shred your own cheese,
yeah.
Like, because I would eat it all the time in the pizzeria, it makes a huge difference. You're just, it's just like, it's so rich. You just feel like, you feel like you're spoiling yourself when you're eating the stuff that doesn't have the powder on it. You're like, yeah, oh, true. Cheese can have this texture. This is awesome. You know,
that's honestly one of the biggest, like, I'm all for so many time-saving tips in the kitchen, but like, and pre-shredded bag cheese has, you know, you can throw it in a quesadilla, whatever, and it's gonna be fine.
Sure.
But like, grating your cheese fresh makes a huge tangible difference.
Yeah, it's weird. It's, yeah. It's way easier to take it right out of the bag. But wait, can you make a pizza in your mouth then while you're chewing? You just pour.
Oh, we're talking mouth pizza.
Oh my
mouth
gosh, pizza. I make mouth nachos all the time.
Mouth nachos are great.
Yeah, so you can just pour cheese in your mouth, pour cold sauce in your mouth, and like raw dough. What is that? It doesn't have to be raw, bubbly. A pita or something. I don't know. Why did I say it had to be raw dough? I don't know. Let's mouth pizza. Okay, another winning thing today.
All right, here we go. We got at krose104_12. Mike and Ike's are very underrated candy.
Nope.
Tell people what Mike and Ike's taste like, because everybody might not know. Everyone being me. What
Nicole, you've
like?
Never had a Mike?
What does it taste
or
like?
Or an Ike?
What does it taste like?
Dennis, describe Mike and Ike's.
They're like chewy little capsules. They're shaped like the... like Tylenol pills, and they're chewy.
Oh.
They're like they kind of have that they have that carnauba wax outside, so they're like shiny.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then you chew them. They're sort of like, I don't want to say gumdrops, but they have that.
No, it's a jelly bean. It's a bad jelly.
It's
bean.
It's like an elongated jelly bean that you can swallow and pretend is your medicine.
Yeah, I think I've had one before. Yeah, they're okay. They're like not the best.
No, they're kind of boring. I'm not a big fan of them, just because like you know, you could get Jelly Bellies and have weird. Like more fun flavors. These are just sort of the standard.
For sure.
Best jelly bean flavor. Or best Jelly Belly flavor. What do you got?
I have a bag and I've just been eating them. I like the pear flavor, surprisingly. That one's really good. The coconut pear is good.
I was going to say pear and coconut and then buttered popcorn.
Buttered popcorn. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Only buttered popcorn when you know it's coming. If you're the kind of person that puts all the Jelly Bellies in your mouth at the same time and then you get that buttered popcorn taste in the middle.
You get it on the finish.
It screws you up. It screws you up big time. Cause you're like, I'm eating jelly beans. I'm not eating butter.
No, I like to start Tutti Frutti and then wash it down with buttered popcorn.
See, Tutti Frutti, I can't deal with Tutti Frutti. There's something about it that grosses me out.
The cinnamon one's good. It's like a nice palate cleanser.
Oof. Dude, let's get a bag of jelly. Let's treat ourselves. Get a bag of jelly
beans. You know what we should do one day? We should just sit in front of the camera and do a live stream of us just eating jelly beans and guessing the flavors.
Yeah.
I think
monetize anything you want to do.
But we would have to like separate them on the table since I'm in Chicago. So just like we would have to like show each other on the camera which ones are which. And if they're slightly off, I'll be like, this is supposed to be cinnamon. And then I get like some red apple or something. Yeah. You know?
Brandy Lou Who 99 says bananas versatility is severely underrated.
I agree. I think you can have them in savory applications. I just don't really think about it. We had been talking about smørrebrød. Is that how you say it in Sweden?
Smørrebrød.
But I think
I don't know.
I think in Sweden they put bananas on their pizza.
Yeah, they sure do.
Did I just? Yeah, I might have just made that up. Did I make that up?
No, that's the thing, dude. They'll do so there's like this sweet. It's a Swedish Persian pizzeria. Why did I split those into two?
Ria.
Anyways, point is, also they make something called pizza salad, not to be confused with salad pizza, which is just a cabbage slaw that goes with pizza. Anyways, they'll do a shrimp, curry, and banana pizza, which is apparently somewhat popular. But I believe bananas and curry powder are a common combination to go on pizza in Sweden.
Yeah, so I mean, I think I would imagine that'd be really good. Like just, you know, so just having, banana taco?
I'm into that.
Yeah.
That's my like go-to like at home meals. You take a flour tortilla and you wrap it around a banana and you spread peanut butter on it, and then you just get a mess-free peanut butter banana with a little tortilla wrap.
That sounds good.
But there's a dish that I've always wanted to try and I don't know how I've never done it. Mm-hmm. But it's this like 1970s retro cookbook dish. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it the
ham?
Not the banana.
The ham
candle,
one.
The ham one.
Ham, banana, and hollandaise. Mm-hmm. Right?
Ham, banana, and hollandaise. That sounds like such a good combination to me.
Maybe.
Why would it not be good?
I don't know.
It's like bacon wrapped dates, but ham wrapped bananas with a little buttery
is it
acidic
heated
sauce.
Up?
Yeah. Well, you gotta bake it.
Oh, you bake it?
Yeah. You don't eat it cold. You eat it baked.
Maybe it could work. I love banana ketchup, and I love banana and like I like plantains and savory applications. Like, why can't you do that with bananas?
Yeah. I agree. Banana is the fruit of opportunity. All right, we should finish with one more. Okay, here's good. At Dustin McGarry, dipping sandwiches / burgers is better than putting condiments directly on the sandwich / burger.
This is a tough one. I think it depends on the condiment.
I think it depends on the sandwich.
And it does depend on the sandwich too. If you've got a triangle shaped sandwich, definitely dipping is pretty good. You know, like a grilled cheese or something, you want to cut it into triangles and go sharp point in. Mm-hmm. For something like a burger, I think a thick cheese sauce works to dip a burger in.
Mm.
But ketchup and stuff, ketchup goes right on the burger. So I don't know. I've only dipped a burger in ketchup when the burger sucks ass. when you need improvement, emergency improvement that wasn't included on the burger. But I don't think it works for everything. If it were, if you had like a watery sauce, I don't think it would work that well. I don't know. So does that mean you eat the burger or sandwich dry and then dip?
So I was going to say, ¿por qué no los dos? Why not? But I condiment. So I came in this morning, Dennis, bragging to my coworkers saying, hey, last night I made the wettest turkey burger I've ever made. You weren't here for that.
It was
just Trevor and B. And they're like, what do you mean? I made a turkey burger last night and then I wrapped it in foil and let it sit while I do the dishes so it can steam together. And I put roasted tomatoes and I sauteed like spinach and garlic. It was kind of a struggle meal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then put that in the bread and I opened it and it was just sopping wet. And what I did is I mixed some ranch with hot sauce and I took the wettest burger you've ever seen and I dunked every bite into ranch dressing and I had finally known peace.
I mean, if it was good, on paper it sounds terrible.
I was shirtless, covered in sweat and blood. This is absolutely
true. Why were you kidding?
I left work late last night and I went to the gym and I was ripping deadlifts. My hands tore. You can kind of see it right there. And I like to eat immediately after I lift. And so I'm just shirtless, covered in sweat and blood. My cat's screaming and I'm just eating a sopping wet turkey burger, dipping it in ranch. And that is my default state of being.
I like to just pour it on, like, from the bottle, like, on my sandwich. Like, I you know, I rip open the condiment and I just squirt it on. Or just, like, use a spoon and I just put it on.
How much blood are you covered in?
You don't want to know. You don't want to know.
On top
of
the bread.
On that note. Thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at MythicalChef or @Hendizada with the hashtag OpinionCasserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
Dennis, man, thank you so much for joining
us
today. I really enjoyed seeing your face move around animatronically for the first time. This is the first time. We've been talking on Twitter for like 8 years. This is the first time that I actually know you exist and aren't a bot from Russia trying to sway me into a weird political view that I don't yet have. But thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, of course.
Dennis, you got anything to plug? You want to like use this time for free advertising? We have followers. They're nice.
You?
Okay, well, my Instagram handle is dickholedannis. DickHole.
That's fine.
DANNIS.
His father's name is Richard.
Yeah,
it's an homage.
Yeah. Richard Hole. My Twitter handle is Fart Sandwich, and my newsletter you can see at foodisstupid.com, and I work for The Takeout, so you can see my stuff every day at The Takeout.
And you have a full-time employer.
I know. I'm always afraid I'm going to get in trouble, but I made it a whole year. So.
All right, Dennis, you're awesome, man. I had a great time,
Thanks,
buddy.
Dennis.